talk with you on 938 Live.
This is The Breakfast Club on 938 Live. It is brought to you this morning by the Sustainable Singapore Movement. We are talking today about making Singapore a leading green economy. We are joined this morning by Mr. Jagadish CV. He is the CEO of Systems on Silicon Manufacturing Company. We're also joined by Esther Ahn. Esther is the Chief Sustainability Officer at City Developments Limited. Esther, Mr. Jagadish, a very good morning.
Good morning. Yeah.
Let's start with semiconductors first and foremost. Mr. Jagadish is the CEO of Systems on Silicon Manufacturing Company. I understand, sir, you recycle about 75% of the water that your company needs. Also, you use 100% of new water in your processes. First and foremost, sir, can you tell us what this water is used for?
Okay. To make a semiconductor wafers, what you typically need is, in the manufacturing process, you need to clean the wafers.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are all submicron type of devices that sits on the wafer.
So it's a very water intensive.
It's a very heavily water intensive business. And you also use the water to cool the lenses.
Okay.
You also use the water for the clean room air conditioners. You also use the water to scrub the exhaust air. You also use the water in terms of cooling the furnaces. So there is a multiple functions of cleaning to maintaining the environment. That's where the consumption of the water comes.
I also understand that you recycle 75% of this. How many times can this water be used?
Yeah,
in the process.
I think it all depends on the individual company or the organization
mm-hmm.
or the owner's willingness to what extent you want to recycle.
Right.
To start with, of course, we started using the new water way back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole industry was hesitating to use the new water.
Why was that?
Because the worry is there. It's a new water is another unknown source. What sort of contaminants
mm-hmm.
or particles or even to a level of a small parts per billion
okay.
contamination can damage the manufacturing of wafers. So the natural hesitation will be there. We also started with that hesitation,
mm-hmm.
but we started mixing the new water with the PUV water.
Right.
Over a period of time, by 2003, we started using 100% new water.
Okay.
That is the first step.
So did you save money in this, or is it a more expensive process?
Using the new water
mm-hmm.
itself, one is, of course, there is a slight cost differential.
Sure.
You get some gain as a
mm-hmm.
industrial user. Second, when you are using the new water, you don't have to use the filters, the reverse osmosis filters,
mm-hmm.
to such a heavy extent because it's already a processed water by the responsible PUB or the different new water manufacturers. They're supplying at a high quality supply. So that itself will save quite a lot of the cost of maintaining the reverse osmosis filter.
See, we want to be a leading green economy, so we want to convince people that it is an economically viable method of doing stuff if you recycle and reuse. But I've been neglecting Esther Ahn this morning. Esther
mm-hmm.
is the Chief Sustainability Officer at City Developments Limited. Esther, let's talk about sustainability as it applies to buildings. Now, we've heard about eco-friendly buildings. We've learned about smart buildings. When we talk about an eco-friendly building, what are we actually talking about?
Mm-hmm. Okay, when we talk about eco-friendly building, it has to be one that it is energy efficient
okay.
and also put water efficiency as priority as well. I would say that building green is only part of the overall strategy of a developer and a landlord like us,
mm-hmm.
City Developments Limited. We have actually adopted transform our business model to one that conserves as we construct, because we know that we can make a difference. Building sector account for 40% of energy consumption globally
mm-hmm.
and account for 30% of greenhouse gas emission.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely building sector, whether we are the builder or the landlord to manage a building, we can always put energy efficiency and water efficiency as priority. And we also engage our supply chain, our internal stakeholder and external stakeholder like our tenants
mm-hmm.
and home buyers to be part of this green journey. And just give you an example, we take green building as an investment, not a cost,
right.
because
okay.
as asset owner, we invest heavily into features that can raise energy efficiency. Just give you an example, like our City Square Mall, which is the first eco mall in Singapore. Every year, it helped to save about $4 million in terms of utility bill.
Mm-hmm.
So the payback, it is quite efficient, and we feel that it can, you know, contribute to our financial bottom line and also at the same time do good for the planet.
And what about passing on the savings to the tenants? Let's talk about this. You talked about when you manage buildings and when you, it's easier to do this as you construct the building. What about retrofitting buildings? Do you do that as well? And there is there an added cost? And is it passed on perhaps to the tenants? And how receptive are they to it?
Actually, there are two parts to it, you know. Of course, the new building is probably easier because you start from the drawing board and then you can look at the orientation. How do you maximize the natural resources, wind and light? And in fact, many of our residential development, we pass back the benefits to our homeowner, such as the oceanfront in Sentosa. There was a TOP 3 years ago.
Sure.
Every year, the residents save about $1,000 up to $1,500 a year in their utility bill. And our latest landed property at Serangoon, actually, it saved about, it raised the energy efficiency by about 40%. So, but up to now, we are not passing the cost to our buyers. As for tenants, we actually engage tenants to go green together, empower them, for example, give them the password to track their electricity consumption almost real time.
Sure.
Only when you manage, you track, you can manage and you can raise your efficiency.
Like Mr. Jagadish was talking about, you know, lots of the water that they use in their company goes to, you know, providing air conditioning services as well. I'm going to ask him about his energy processes as well. So when we talk about recycling water, that was one thing. How do you guys keep energy efficient?
Yeah, in industries, the energy is used. One example which you covered already, like the air conditioner, that consumes a lot of energy.
Indispensable in a lot of places.
So that is one area which can always, you can bring in efficiency in the chillers and the air handling units that you use. That brings in even in the manufacturing industries, the energy efficiency. But the main energy efficiency comes in the tools and the equipment that are used. For example, if you look at a manufacturing tool, we'll have to have the supporting vacuum pumps, and then also in terms of creating the vacuum as well as supplying the electricity and the power. So that is where you can start putting the energy efficiency products. For example, in the SSMC, over the last, in the period of 3 years, we replaced all the roughing pumps with the energy efficiency pump. And we could get the payback in less than 24 months. That is, the money you spend to replace the pump and with the energy that you save, you can recover it back in less than 24 months. So that is an indication that bringing energy efficiency is also a form of straight away the investment recovery and the future cost saving in the lesser energy consumed.
So not as many companies are as enlightened as yours. What advice would you have to say, especially when they are looking in these days, this day and age, at the bottom line?
Okay. I think you have to start somewhere today.
Okay.
I mean, if you don't start somewhere in Singapore, we will not be making progress in the for the long-term future. So if you want to manage your energy, have an energy manager. If you want to manage your water, start doing a water efficiency manager or a person who can start interacting and get the basics done in terms of if it's a building like what Esther explained just now, you get it building certified as an energy efficient or a water efficient process that you can lead through. Then you start drawing what we call as the maps of the water. That means you start measuring wherever the water is consumed, wherever the energy is consumed. You map it on to a, you know, water map or an energy map. Then you know where you are. Then you start going towards the standards of managing the energy and water. For example, in there is a SS Singapore standard 570 run by the Spring. You can use those standards to bring in that water efficiency. And then start implementing the program. There are enough people in the industry who are willing to share. I mean, if anybody industry want to come and come and take a look at us, they're most welcome as long as they're not competitors.
You heard it here first on The Breakfast Club. If you need to get the hands-on experience on how to use water efficiently and energy efficiently, Mr. Jagadish will be glad to, entertain you. But he was talking about hire someone with the experience, and CDL has just has done that. Esther An is the Chief Sustainability Officer at City Developments Limited. Esther, is it difficult? We were talking about education. Is it difficult educating people to say perhaps there might be a cost up front, but there will be benefits in saving, you know, a little further down, like Mr. Jagadish was talking about, 24 months. Did you have resistance when you were embarking on perhaps sustainability in your buildings and the buildings that you manage?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was difficult when we first started in 1995, but now, in the recent year, with heightened awareness of climate change and with Paris Agreement and SDGs launch, and also locally we have increasingly more Energy Conservation Act and Act and also waste reductions and all that. It, I would say that integrating sustainability into your business will become a license to operate. It's not something just good to have. Mm-hmm. And it does have an impact on your bottom line, you know, on your financial bottom line, and also to maintain a sustained growth for your company as well. So I would say that you can't just, you know, adopt green as like a fact, but you really have to integrate it into your business and adopt it, integrate it into your day-to-day operations. And there are Green Mark, there are ISO, you know, 14001 EHS system and all that. So there are a lot of policy and practices, best practices in the world you can actually adopt. Resistance, yes, changing mindset is always difficult, but we have to start somewhere. And how we engage our tenants and adopted the green lease, that was almost almost close to 2 years ago. Initially, there was certain resistance. Right. We started with about 60% over, and today we actually have achieved about 95% already. So you just have to explain to them, and now the macro environment is very conducive in a way. Listed company, you have to adopt a sustainability strategy because reporting is mandatory now, starting from next year. So I think businesses understand the importance of integrating sustainability into your business. So our tenants and all that have been very supportive, whether we are adopting the eco-office project and raising the temperature by 1 degree, we have 100% participation. And having said that, we still have to continue the education, especially we are engaging the youth, because we have to start young, because it is easier to influence younger people when they are still, you know, forming their habit and all that. So youth development has been always our focus. We even actually engage kids from 3 years old to 12 years old through our first green library in the world, which is at the basement one.
And you also have a Singapore Sustainability Academy as well. But we want to talk about the education efforts a little further down in our next segment, which is coming up in just a little while. Esther, before you go, I need to clarify for our listeners. You talked about, yes, you own the assets sometimes, and most of the buildings you own and manage as well. Do you manage buildings for other people as well, the CDL?
No, not till now. Yeah.
So it could be an easier task in when you are embarking on a sustainability program. We are talking about steps to make Singapore a leading green economy, and we are showcasing the efforts of Systems on Silicon Manufacturing Company, which recycles their water, 75% of which is reused. We didn't get how many times the water can be used in their wafer and manufacturing processes. We're also speaking with Mr. Jagadish CV. He is, of course, the CEO of SSMC. We're also speaking to the Chief Sustainability Officer at City Developments Limited, Mrs. Esther An. We will come back, talk about the education efforts and how we can attain the goal of being a leading green economy. Keep it right here on 938 Live, The Breakfast Club this morning, brought to you by the Sustainable Singapore Movement. We will be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us. Good morning.
We explain the news on 938 Live.
Back into The Breakfast Club on 938 Live, talking about steps to make Singapore a leading green economy. It is brought to you this morning, The Breakfast Club, that is, by the Sustainable Singapore Movement. We are joined this morning by the CEO of SSMC, I'll do it one more time. Systems on Silicon Manufacturing is Mr. Jagadish CV. We're also speaking with the Chief Sustainability Officer at City Developments Limited, Esther Ahn. Esther and Mr. Jagadish, welcome back into the Breakfast Club. Before we went for our very, very short break, we were talking about education efforts. City Development believes in catching them young and watching them grow, so they will bring the message forward. Mr. Jagadish, have you had problems educating perhaps people in your industry or your employees about this sustainability path that your company is on?
Yes and no.
Because you are the boss, you can do it.
No, that is not true. The world doesn't work that way these days. It has to come from the,
The ground,
ground level. If it is a mandatory statutory law, be it environmental, be it water, be it electricity, be it waste, you know, it is easy to deploy. But the question here is, at the moment in Singapore, there is no law in Singapore that says you have to recycle 20%, 30%, 50%, right? So it's a voluntary basis, and the company, as a company, we pursued what we call as an eco-vision policy. Right from the day of the incorporation of the company, we have a five-year program. We draw a map and see how much of water we want to save, how much of electricity we want to save, how much of carbon emission we want to reduce, how much of the materials that are against the industry requirements that we can eliminate, right? So there are conflicting minerals, one is one example. So we put that program in place and we run this program five year. So that is its first starting point as a company's own direction. Second, we have the interest groups of the environmental program. For example, we have volunteers who are coming in and joining to manage the water-related programs, like doing the we have, for example, we have adapted the Lorong Halus, which is very right next to Pasir Ris, and then our employees, they are the volunteers to educate the public, our own employees, and also the international visitors on how the Lorong Halus wetland has been developed and how it is becoming eco-friendly. One example. We take our own employees to go and visit the new water plant. I myself had been to Pulau Samakau, to the new water plant. I enjoyed those visits. By the way, we are participating in the International Water Day on this 4th of March.
Congratulations.
And we encourage everybody to come and join us, ask us questions and challenges. Me and my team will be there. We'll be very happy to share some of our learnings.
And there you have it. This is, sustainability front and center. Head to the new Water Day celebrations, or rather the Water Day celebrations.
World Water Day.
Yeah, World Water Day celebrations. And Mr. Jagadish will be glad to take your questions. Esther, earlier on we talked about your education efforts with the young. Let's talk about the Sustainability Academy, which was launched last August. How is this going to be able to perhaps promote or reduce our carbon footprint?
Okay. Actually, this is the SSA, we called it. We announced the launch of it last August. And since then, we've been working very hard we are completing the construction in a couple of weeks, and it is going to be officially launched come this World Environment Day.
Okay.
It is a very extensive 3P partnership. No one sector can do, save the planet alone.
Sure.
So this partnership is an illustration of a very extensive 3P partnership, engaging 5 government agencies, 12 industry partners, and a number of NGOs and all that. So what happened is we have the land, the free GFA, and then CDL, and with 12 partners, build it, and it is zero energy, is covered with solar panels over the whole rooftop, and we use all material, building materials are all from sustainable source, and it is going to be completed soon. To simply put, it is actually a hub for knowledge building, sharing, capacity building, networking, and collaboration. So our targets are not just industry players from public and private sector, it's also general public as well as the youth. So what we want to engage everyone is we feel that everyone can play a part. in sustaining the environment and contributing, you know, to a more greener and sustainable future. So this is the concept of Academy. And we have also engaged Singapore's Sustainable Energy Association to run classes and training on a day-to-day basis. And CDL is managing all the programming with the both public and private sector as well as NGO.
You know, I'm glad both of you are so eco-friendly, but we must ask this question, sorry to go on a down note when we are ending the program. Singapore is a very small country. With all the efforts that we're doing, as eco-friendly as we are, as sustainable as we are becoming, how can we be this beacon when people around us perhaps are not embarking on the same techniques? Perhaps I'll put that to Esther as well. People in the region may not be as enlightened.
I would say that we have seen progress. Okay. Just looking at the global sustainability benchmark, you can trace that, yes, the Western world is a lot more advanced than you know, the Asian counterpart, but you can see the change. And Singapore may be small, but we feel that we can play a part to set example and to engage the regions, you know, player. And we have a lot of actually global establishments like UNDP, like World Green Building Council, and all these are establishments that we can engage, you know, people from different parts of the world. We are also surprised that what we do in the little red dot are actually well recognized and in the world. You just look at the Global 100 most sustainable corporation ranking, you would see that actually Singapore companies are also having a place, you know, on the ranking.
Mr. Jagadish, in the minute that we have left, the same question I put to you. Would this impede perhaps our competitiveness if we are doing what we're doing when others around us perhaps can compete better on cost?
Absolutely. I have, before that, I want to start with the first one point.
Sure.
Water is a national asset.
Indeed.
Let's not debate on
it.
So accept that as a industry in Singapore, we should take that responsibility, see how we can address it. Second, if you want to compete globally, for example, in the semiconductor industry where I come from, I need to compete on a daily basis with Taiwan, Korea, Japan, China, and even some neighborhood like Malaysia.
Right.
So you take, for example, Taiwan, in the city of Hsinchu, where majority of the semiconductor industry is like here in Singapore, they reduce, reuse, recycle water.
Right.
It is a city state, whatever the city law, that every company, they're already doing it. And why we should not do the same and be competitive in being, one is, of course, you are socially responsible. Second, your cost of use of water will reduce. I give you a simple example.
Sure.
If I consume 100,000 meter cube of water per day in my manufacturing plant, if today I'm recycling 75%, you ask the question, it is equivalent to recycling already four times.
Indeed.
If I don't recycle four times, I need 400,000 meter cube of water per day.
Right.
So that itself is it's an increase in cost by four times. And also I'm consuming the water which can be consumed by for the domestic users, for example, right? So that is one simple example. Same thing applies to the energy efficiency. And also if you want to do a global business in Singapore, the customers will come and look at you and say, are you environmental friendly? Do you have corporate social responsibility programs that represents consumption and, you know, reduction of water, energy, waste and, carbon for, you know, what are you contributing to the carbon footprint? The world is looking at us. So in industry also, the world will look at you as a Singapore company. Are you competitive in that area?
And of course, the beacons of maintaining and becoming sustainable. Chief Sustainability Officer at City Development, Esther Ahn, the CEO of SSMC, Systems on Silicon Manufacturing, Mr. Jagadish CV, thank you so much for throwing so much light on the efforts that your companies are doing. This has been The Breakfast Club on 938 Live. It was brought to you this morning by the Sustainable Singapore Movement. Join us next week when we will tell you a whole lot more. Mr. Jagadish, Esther, thank you so much for making it
in. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And this is The Breakfast Club on 938 Live.